This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know that feeling when you have something that's really been bothering you, or when you've been fixating on something in your life that's looming large in your mind? We all carry around different stressors in our lives, big and small, and I think we inherently know that when we keep them bottled up inside, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest, and to figure out how to work through whatever it is that's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for people who have experienced major trauma. There are plenty of benefits it can have for everyone. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. And don't underestimate the power of boundaries either. Those are super important. If you've been wondering if you should give therapy a try, check out BetterHelp. It's a fully online experience and designed from the ground up to be convenient and customizable to your schedule. To get started, you just have to fill out a brief questionnaire that will match you up with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no extra charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/filmdaily today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/filmdaily.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. This is Slash Film Editor-in-Chief Peter Serretta, and joining me on today's podcast is the host of the Slash Filmcast, David Chen.
Hello. How's it going, Peter?
It's going well. I just got back from Vegas for CinemaCon. This week is Star Wars Celebration. But we also did the hotel apocalypse, tried to get our hotels for Comic-Con. And there was the big news. Disney was announcing their entire slate for what they were doing with the streaming service. So I was on my way home, Dave, and you gave me a call and said, do you want to Periscope about this? And actually tomorrow, at the time we're recording this on Thursday night. And tomorrow is when the Star Wars Episode 9 trailer hits. So I didn't think we were going to have a chance to talk about this actually on the podcast. So we are actually broadcasting this on your Periscope, but we are also recording this to release it on the Slash Film Daily podcast feed.
Yeah. And I think this is my first appearance on Slash Film Daily. It's not, you know, you've appeared on the Slash Filmcast a few times, but this is my first appearance on Slash Film Daily. So just want to say I enjoy the show. Great to be here, Peter.
It's great to have you on, Dave, and we got to make this happen more often, although we do record during the day, and I do know you have a day job, which is a good segue, Dave, to a full disclosure here.
My full disclosure is, I am an employee at Amazon, and even though I'm an employee at Amazon, my views are my own and do not represent those of my company. I don't speak for my company, but it is good for people to know that I work at Amazon before we talk about anything that might compete with Amazon in any way. Including Disney, or not even compete, be a partner with, be tangentially involved with, be intimately involved with, which is basically, I don't know if you are aware, basically every single company in the world. So Disney is one of those companies, and they just unveiled Disney Plus today, their new video on demand service, highly anticipated.
Were you watching this investors call as it went on? It wasn't a call. It was actually like a presentation live.
Yeah, no. I wasn't. I didn't watch it, but I read all about it. And I was extremely intrigued by this thing because as a consumer, it seems like a pretty good deal. Let's run through some basics of Disney Plus. Apparently, it's going to launch on November 12th, 2019.
My birthday, by the way. Happy birthday
nice.
To me.
Happy birthday when that, you know, I'll get you a month of Disney Plus for your birthday, Peter. How about that?
Yeah.
And speaking of getting a month, the cost is very affordable, $7 per month or $70 annually for a premium subscription. No ads.
So for that annual subscription, that ends up being like $550 or something per month.
Right.
If you break it down.
Yeah.
That's very affordable, Dave.
I agree. So the question, Peter, is what are people getting for this money, right? What are they getting for the $550 a month? What are some of the things that they're getting?
Well, they're getting everything. They're getting the entire or most of the Disney library, as much as they can give us it, because there is some stuff that still is licensed elsewhere. And I'm assuming those things are going to end up coming to Disney Plus, at some point. Let's start with, why don't we start talking about the shows? Because, let me back up, Dave. We're going to back up here. So the entire Disney library, the entire vault is being opened. What that means is all the Pixar films, all the Walt Disney animated films, what we assume is most of the live action films, eventually all the Marvel films, the Star Wars films. I think it's something like 75 1,000 episodes of TV that aired on Disney Channel.
Yeah, and kind of also really impressive is apparently the 300 plus episodes of Simpsons, because Disney now owns Fox.
Yeah, that's
I mean, it's almost worth it just for that alone. You know, that is a total power move, by the way. Acquiring Fox and then boom, dropping Disney Plus, and by the way, you can watch any episode of The Simpsons ever, pretty much, right?
You know, the only thing that's weird about this, Dave, is that this they showed off this UI for the service, and it's split up into five different categories: Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. Mm-hmm. And the weird thing is they don't have Fox here. So where is The Simpsons going to fall in here? Right. And also they showed that while they were going through the tiles, this looks like a traditional tile interface, as you'll see, you know, on Netflix or any of that. We saw like glimpses of like avatars on the system. Is that going to be considered a Disney movie?
Right, right.
So it's kind of...
We saw Avatar, you know, on the screen. Definitely one of the most culturally relevant films of all time. And... I think it's interesting that that it definitely does show that Fox stuff will be on here in some form or another, right?
Yeah, and they said the more adult stuff will probably be on Hulu or other platforms.
Right, right, which they also now own a huge chunk of, right? So
yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of some of the back catalog stuff. You've alluded to some of the back catalog stuff that's going to be on there. But there's going to be a bunch of original shows as well. And it's
By the way, Dave, for $6.99 a month, if you were just getting the back catalog, deal and a half. Like, I don't mean to.
Sorry, can you repeat that? I didn't.
For $6.99 a month, if they were not providing any original exclusive programming, I still think that's the best streaming deal, like, out there.
It's particularly a good deal for parents, I think, right? And people in the chat room are talking about how this is going to be a great deal for kids. If you have kids, finding good quality, safe kids content is a challenge. And I think, you know, if I was a parent, this would be like one of the first stops. This is one of the first video services to take a bite out of my wallet is this Disney Plus, because what better provider of kids content is there other than Disney, maybe Sesame Street? But you know what I mean? Like, this is definitely up there. So, it is very, very compelling price point and also value proposition. Let's talk about some of the stuff that's going to be on it that's not back catalog stuff, right? So you're going to get your Marvel stuff. You're going to get some of the Fox stuff. You're going to get, hit movies like Avatar. but there's new shows that they unveiled as well, right?
Yeah, let's first start off with Star Wars. There's the season 7 of the Clone Wars. This is an animated series that was beloved, and when Disney bought Lucasfilm, basically it ended. It was ended shortly, abruptly, and they are basically giving it. This is not a show I watched, but I know a lot of people have a very emotional connection to this. So, you'll get those fans. The thing I'm particularly most interested in is The Mandalorian. This is the first live-action Star Wars TV series. This is produced by Jon Favreau. It has episodes directed by Dave Filoni, Deborah Chow, who she was the one that did one of the best episodes of Better Call Saul last season, the one with the split screen, and Rick Fumiyama, Bryce Dallas Howard is making, I guess, her television directorial debut with this, and Taika Waititi is directing. So they are all directing episodes. There's a rumored $100 million budget for the season, and it follows the travels of a lone gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy, far, far from the authority of the New Republic. This takes place between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens, so it has a lot to play with. And I feel like for Star Wars fans, this is like a dream come true, because, you know, you're getting to follow like a Mandalorian who's like, you know, the race of people that Boba Fett was.
Right. So you're getting already... Right, we've already talked about all the back catalog stuff. Then on top, Clone Wars Season 7 and The Mandalorian.
Yeah. And Season 7 is available in year one. Mandalorian's available at launch.
Right, wow, yeah. I mean, that's... And what's interesting, right, is to compare this, too, with the Apple TV Plus announcement that we just saw like a few weeks ago, right? Because a variety of reasons, they both have the name Plus in them. They're both presumably services that, you know, are going to feature brand new shows direct to consumer. And I think Bob Iger is actually on Apple's board. Am I right about that?
He was, at least. I'm not sure if he still is. I think he is.
Yeah. So,
but there's no. We've talked about that slate. We did a Periscope, and there was nothing on that slate that was really like high concept in any way.
Well, you know, there wasn't anything on that slate that was based on decades old IP like the Star Wars and Mandalorian, right? And then you also have,
by the way, that's the amazing thing. If you look at this list, I think there's probably only two or three things in this entire list of original shows and movies that is not based on something.
Right. So then Cassian Andor, another series. This was confirmed.
Yeah, Diego Luna's character in Rogue One, he's going to be reprising his role, and also Alan Tudyk is going to reprise his role with K2SO, and this is executive produced by the guy that did The Americans, This is going to be year two, so this is a little bit out.
Can we spoil Star Wars Rogue One? Let's spoil Star Wars Rogue One, right?
So sure.
If you haven't seen I don't know why I can't say Star Wars Rogue One easily, but
Dave, before you say this, I am so happy they showed this logo for The Mandalorian. It just says The Mandalorian. There's no a Star Wars story. There's no clunky like subtitle that we got with like, you know, those standalone movies. And I mean, Rogue One, a Star Wars story is the official title, Dave.
Right. Wow. So.
You were going to spoil that movie?
I was going to spoil Rogue One, a Star Wars story. I have a feeling this show, Cassian Andor, takes place before the events of Rogue One. Do you think that's correct? Because if my memory of Rogue One is correct, both Cassian Andor and K2SO perished violently in that film. Yeah,
they do. And the cool part of this, Dave, is this is going to be a spy thriller set in the world of Star Wars. So it's going to be a tale of espionage and daring missions. And that sounds like we'll see a side to Star Wars that we've never seen before.
Indeed. I hope so. So then we got some MCU stuff, right? Yeah. And, you know, top of the ticket, I actually thought this was an Onion story when I saw it, but apparently there's a show called WandaVision. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a bad name for a show.
WandaVision, it sounds like one of those like modes you could see a movie in like the, you know, 60s or whatever. Like, it's like, watch it in WandaVision, right? I mean, it's a pretty rough title.
Yeah. Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany are both reprising their roles from the MCU. The exciting thing here with these Marvel shows, Dave, and I know you're friends with Patrick H. Willems, and you've probably seen his fantastic video essay series on what he, you know, his problems with the MCU. Yeah. And I think he hits the problem like dead on, that these films are these big events. We're not getting to see the stuff that happens in between these events. In the comic books, they have a year in between these big events that we get to see how these characters deal with these big epic changes in their lives. And I think these TV series are actually going to give us that kind of, you know, the more low key, like, us dealing with these people.
The more low-key elements of the show. Okay. But there is also a low-key show as well. But yeah, I agree. It's the interstitial aspect. Like, when you're seeing an Endgame or Infinity War or Civil War, like, these characters live lifetimes between these movies, right? They live, like, so much happens to them between these films, and you only get a glimpse of it in the films. And so these shows kind of offer the opportunity to see them between those major events, those major life-altering, world-changing, world-ending events that happen in the movies themselves. So you got WandaVision, you got Loki, you got Falcon and Winter Soldier, you got Hawkeye, and...
What If is like... one that I was particularly excited about. This is an animated show. This is actually a scoop that I broke and was confirmed on stage today by Kevin Feige. And these were comics that I used to love as a kid. These were What If comics were outside of the continuity and would show you possible stories that could have happened. So, but this is going to be set in the MCU. It's going to have people from the MCU voicing the characters. It's going to be an animated form. He said the first episode asks, what if Peggy Carter had become a super soldier instead of Captain America? And Steve Rogers is given an armored suit built by Howard Stark. So it gives
you basically fan fiction, the show.
Yeah, basically.
There's a, yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully it'll be in the vein of like Logan, right? Which is kind of like a, itself was kind of like an alternate universe version of that character in some ways. I know it technically takes place in the same universe, but feels like the same kind of ethos. So what's exciting to me about this is that it's the same actors from the films, right? It's not like,
yeah,
it's
like, and Kevin Feige is producing this, unlike the other Marvel shows, which are produced by Jeff Loeb. And there's kind of a rivalry there. They don't really get along. And they're, even though Jeff Loeb always in every interview says it's all connected, it's not connected at all.
Right. So a couple things in the chat room that are happening. Amin Maleen is saying, like, it's like Elseworlds, right? I think that's a good comparison.
Yeah. But actually, I think Marvel did it first, though. So actually, Elseworlds, I think, is like, what if?
So I think there's a question in the chat too, like, is the Marvel Cinematic Universe going to become way more complicated to follow after this point, right? It's already pretty difficult to follow right now.
Is it?
Right?
I feel like to see Infinity War, you just needed to see two other movies to really get the gist of things.
I guess, yeah, to get the gist of things, but not for like maximum impact.
Well, Kevin Feige made this quote. He said, there will be both new and continuing stories, and one of the things we're most excited about is that these will be major storylines set in the MCU with ramifications that will be felt both in the Disney Plus shows we're producing and our features on the big screen.
It is just impressive. It's impressive what they, like... they built this entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now they're extending it to this new streaming service they have, and people are just going to follow along if they want to keep up with the storylines that are going on in the films. Like, it's been very rare that we have seen a movie where you had to watch something that happened on the TV show version of something set in that universe to understand the movie. The only one I can think of recently that falls into that category was Solo, A Star Wars Story, where like there was a major character reveal in that film that if you weren't watching like the TV show, it would be very difficult for you to understand what the significance of that was. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I do know what you're talking about, but and that was confusing, I think, to people. But I feel like if that animated series never happened, that could also function as the way we learn that character. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I'm curious, like, how integral are these TV shows going to be to the film cinematic universe? My guess is slightly more integral than like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is right now, right? Because if it's too much, they're going to alienate people who are only going to turn out, you know, three times a year for Marvel stuff and don't want to keep up with like 50 hours of content.
Yeah, but I feel like it's going to be felt, but like it's not going to be stuff that you need to know. Like, when Black Widow and Hawkeye are talking about like their old missions, like in that movie, I feel like like we'll see stuff like that, and like it'll be referenced, but it's not. You know, it could just very well be a line in the movie anyways that doesn't call to anything like it does now.
Right.
And they also have these interesting, they're doing these documentary series. They're doing a bunch of these. We'll talk about them coming up. But they're doing like a Marvel 616 and they're doing a Marvel Hero Project. And they're also doing one, which I forgot to list here, where they're going to talk about the props and the people that create like the things within the Marvel and Star Wars universes. So you'll actually get to see some of the creative process that goes on. And these are going to be like documentary TV series.
It's basically like all your dreams are being realized in Disney Plus, right? Is what is happening.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, you're mentioning all these documentary series. There's going to be kind of Disney based shows as well, right?
Yeah. There's a whole Disney section.
Like,
there's like,
I know the whole thing is Disney, but you know what I mean? Like, so shows based on things like, there's going to be a Lady and the Tramp, quote unquote, live action show. Is that right?
Yeah. That is a movie, actually.
That's a movie. Yeah, sorry.
So let's get to the movies later. Let's talk about the shows really quick. There is a High School Musical, the musical show, which is weird. It's it takes place at the high school where the movies were filmed, and they're now arranging a stage production of the movies in the show, and it's about that stage production. It's kind of strange. Mighty Ducks, they're trying to do a TV show version of the Mighty Ducks, which I think is going to be kind of like a legacy equal TV series. So I guess in the vein of like Cobra Kai,
they're going to Cobra Kai Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. There's a bunch of like, there's a Ink and Paint show that is going to take a look at the often overlooked female employees of Walt Disney's animation studios. That's an 8-episode documentary series. They have a bunch of like reality stuff. They're working on a new Muppets revival. There's
This is how impressive the Disney slate is they have a whole program of shows that are just about the making of the Disney slate.
Yeah, there's the Unknown, making Frozen 2, which is going to be a multi-episode documentary series that'll take you into the making of Frozen 2, warts and all. They're promising that we'll see like the struggles of the creative process.
We're going to see the warts. We're going to see all the warts of the Frozen series.
Yeah.
Obviously, as a diehard Blu-ray fan and love listening to commentaries and watching all the special features, this stuff is kind of like, I love this kind of stuff, right? But even just the things that you've already named, that's like an intimidating amount of content.
Oh, and I didn't even say, Dave, they're doing a Walt Disney Imagineering documentary series, which is like, you know, I love the theme parks and Leslie Iwerks.
What is Imagineering for those who don't know what that is?
Those are the people that actually make the rides and lands in the Disney theme parks.
Yeah,
and they've been around for over 65 years. And Leslie Iwerks, who is an Academy Award and Emmy nominated director, she did the Pixar story, if you've ever seen that doc. And it's very good. She's basically overseeing this, and she has a lot of never before seen footage and interviews. And it's going to – I don't know how long the series is, but I'm super excited for that.
So there's also The Sandlot, a reboot of the film.
Yeah, with the original characters as the parents.
Crazy, crazy. So, oh, man, it's just like
it goes
really
on and on.
IP, right?
Yeah, Pixar is doing Monsters at Work, which is a Monsters, Inc. set TV series where John Goodman and Billy Crystal will be reprising their roles, but they're going to be like side characters in the story. So it's kind of like a spinoff. And they're doing a bunch of short stuff. They're doing like Spark shorts, which have been released online. And Forky asks a question. He's a character in the new Toy Story 4. But the most surprising thing out of these announcements, Dave, was a show on National Geographic. This is a show that I had no idea was being in development. And it's a show that I couldn't possibly know was ever going to exist, and didn't possibly ever know that is a show that I needed in my life. But it sounds like everything I need, Dave. It's The World According to Jeff Goldblum. This is a series that's going to be available on day one, and it's going to have Jeff Goldblum hosting as he pulls back the curtain on a familiar object like speakers or ice cream and give a full behind-the-scenes story, including history and more.
Basically, it is a show that sounds like it is genetically engineered to be shared on the internet in memes and on Twitter and TikTok and Snapchat and so on.
Yes. Right?
Whatever the kids are using these days. So, yeah.
And National Geographic has a bunch of shows. I'm not sure National Geographic is going to be the like selling point for this service. But they do have a docuseries called Magic of the Animal Kingdom, which is going to take place in Disney's Animal Kingdom Park in Florida, which is kind of like a half theme park, half zoo. And it's going to be kind of like a nature documentary set in that world and showing us the drama that goes on.
All right. So that's a lot. We didn't name every single thing, but that was most of the things that are going to be out on Disney Plus.
Yeah. I will link the whole article in the show notes if you're listening to this in podcast form, or you can just go to slashfilm.com and find it. But we haven't even talked about movies, Dave.
Mm. Take us through some of the big high-level movie announcements, Peter.
Well, there's a lot of remakes and sequels. There's the Three Men and the Baby remake that's in development. There's the Father of the Bride. There's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. There's the Parent Trap, another Parent Trap. How many remakes of that have they done at this point? At least three, right? And Phineas and Ferb movie, a Sister Act 3. I'm not sure who wants to see any of these, but they're making them.
Of those, I'm 100% serious. Of those, the one I am most excited about is Sister Act 3.
Wait, why?
Because Sister Act 1 and... What do you mean, why? Sister Act 1 and 2 were freaking amazing, Peter. All right? So I'm just... I'm laying down my claim that, like, that is going to be the best one out of all of those. How about you, Peter? What are you psyched about?
Out of that bunch? You know, I really had a lot of fun with Honey, I Shrunk the Kids when I was a kid, and I think the advancements in special effects could make that interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think as I listen to you rattle off all these titles, and I've already said it, you know, several times, but like the thing I'm most impressed by is how deep that bench goes in terms of the IP, right? In terms of like the franchises that they have access to, right?
Yeah.
You got Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. You got The Sandlot. You got the entire Star Wars universe. You got things like Lady and the Tramp. There's so many things that they can pull from. And it just really kind of is in such a stark contrast to how the Apple presentation went. Like, as you're thinking, you know, I don't want to talk too much about the Apple one, but like, as you're thinking about how the Apple one went versus this one, what are your overall reactions?
I mean, this is all things that people actually want to see. And I feel like, I feel like every single one of these things is something that someone might subscribe to a service for, where I don't feel like almost anything that Apple announced was a must-see.
I mean, I think what really also comes to mind is how difficult it is to make a really amazing IP that people will turn out for, right? Like, Disney has been doing this for decades, and Apple has just they've kind of walked in, you know, and kind of presented as though it is an innovation on par with the iPhone. And we'll see if they are correct about that. I think...
And we haven't even touched the tip of this IP thing, because you know how they're remaking the animated movies as, you know, quote-unquote live-action movies with Lion King
right.
and Aladdin coming up? They're doing a bunch of those for this service, which it seems crazy to me, because it seems like they're missing out on money that could be spent at the box office. They're doing that Lady and the Tramp that you mentioned. They're doing also Peter Pan with David Lowery, who did Pete's Dragon. Great director.
Yeah. And Old Man and the Gun, yeah.
Yeah, and Reese Witherspoon is rumored to be playing Tinkerbell in that. And they're also doing a Sword and a Stone remake, which that also sounds pretty cool, because that...
It is one of the best retellings of the Arthurian legend ever, probably, at this point. So I think... looking on it, it is a really compelling package for $7 per month. I mean, and possibly less if you buy a whole year. And the more I think about it, Peter, the more I'm like, I wonder if Apple TV Plus is going to be free, you know, like, or because can you imagine if Apple TV Plus like charged more than $7 a month? And like, if you have only $7 a month to put to something, are you going to choose this or Apple TV Plus? You know what I'm saying? Like, anyway,
I know you're making commentary on the Apple announcements and stuff, but I completely agree with you. I feel like there's, in comparison to almost anything, like even this is just like their day one announcements. We don't even know.
This is not even this. They haven't even. There could be stuff they're not even telling us, or stuff that's in development that they haven't revealed yet, right?
Yeah. So, some of these movies, by the way, I don't want to list off all these because there's adaptations and there's originals. There's this original movie called Magic Camp, which is Mark Waters. He did, I think, Mean Girls or. I could be wrong about that. But he did this movie called Magic Camp, which is based on this camp that actually exists where kids go to learn to be magicians. And this was a movie that stars Adam Devine. It has Jeffrey Tambor in it and Julian Jacobs. This was a movie that was supposed to hit theaters and is now going straight to this streaming platform. So there's a bunch of these things are actually like were developed as big screen movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive. It's impressive. So all that said, any other thoughts on the reveal? Like, how did you think of the actual show itself? You know, like, was it impressive?
Well, it was more like, I don't know. It's weird, Dave, because this was an investors conference. This wasn't something that consumers were supposed to be watching. So it was very money focused, and they also like were showing clips that were blacked out online. So we basically saw nothing that the people in attendance were actually seeing. But their stage was impressive. It seemed like they had run through it quite a few times. And even though it was quite lengthy, it was just packed full of stuff. And I don't know. What I'm wondering about this, Dave, is how far the vault's going to go. Like, how much content are you going to have all the Mickey Mouse cartoons on here?
Right.
Are they actually going to have Song of the South, the quote unquote banned Disney classic that hasn't been available for many years? Is that going to be available?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say no on that one. I don't know that they're going to, maybe not on launch day is what I'll say about that.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like there's so much to be had here. Like, I feel like I sound like a Disney shill right now, because this is just like, but this is so overwhelming. Looking at these lists, we had planned to read off all these, and we can't even. You know, we've gone 30 minutes, and we can't even. And it's just so overwhelming.
I mean, I think just even the launch day slate, it would take you months just to get through that. Just to get through that. That's if they made nothing else new, right? Just like watching in the course of your daily life to get through this launch slate.
And by the way, at the in their first year, they plan on having 25 original series, I think, and 10 plus movies and specials. And that's in their first year alone.
Well, it is a robust slate for sure, and it is a good value. You know, I think one of the things that's a real challenge now is...
Oh, and Dave, I hate to interrupt you here, but I know you are Mr. You want to see things in the best quality possible. They also said that this is going to be 4K, HDR, like, you know, you aren't getting, like, you know, just an HD version. Like, you're getting the best possible version of this outside of having a Blu-ray.
Yeah. I mean, give me that Dolby Vision is what I'm looking for. But yeah, it's a robust slate, and it's like at a price that's affordable. And I think for a lot of people, the question is about deciding which streaming services you're going to use, right? Like, or you're going to get, because I personally am a cord cutter myself, right? So like I stack a bunch of streaming services on top of each other. And there's always a question of like which ones are essential and which ones are not essential. And I feel like this one, obviously, I'm very partial to Prime Video, you know, which which I think is an amazing set of benefits. But
and by the way, Prime Video does its share of IP-based stuff. I feel like I don't understand what Apple's doing. The only
Yeah, well, in any case, I think whenever a new streaming service comes out, and this is not the last one, right? I mean, this is basically the third one in the last month that has been unveiled. I mean, Criterion Channel, I'm thinking Apple Plus, Criterion Channel, and this. I mean, Criterion Channel technically was like announced like a few months ago, but and this there's going to be more, right? I think. It's been rumored that Time Warner is going to come out with one, right?
Yeah.
And there's probably like one or two more on top of that. So it's like, after all that, like there's going to be so many of these streaming services, probably like a dozen major ones. You're going to need to ask yourself like which ones are the ones you're going to shell out several bucks a month for. And I feel like this made a really good argument that it should be one of them, right? So anyway. an impressive announcement slate, I think.
Is there anything about this announcement, Dave? I feel like you're being too positive. You're usually, like, when I listened to the Slash Film Cast, I was yeah. actually just out to dinner, and I was talking to two filmmaker friends who listened to the Slash Film Cast, and they're like, I love Devendra because he likes all the weird stuff, and I love Jeff because he's always positive, and I love Dave because he's always negative. Or he's always critical. He's always highly critical of stuff. I feel like you're being way too positive about this. What is the negative here? What are we missing for a negative angle here?
Tough to say. I mean, technologically, it seems like apparently you can download them offline to view as well.
Yeah. So you can take it on your iPad on a plane.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like I am very skeptical in general, and like in this case, it's like they're asking for so little, right? Like if it was like $15 a month, I'd be like, ooh, maybe, I don't know, for like a bunch of shows that you might not watch. But for like $7 a month, $70 a year, that's like, you know, if I go out for a nice dinner, that might be $70, right? Like that's like a year worth of Disney Plus. I mean, it is tough to beat. So I guess I would say I'm curious, like the technological implementation and how it'll go, like how it will integrate into like Apple TV, for instance. Or Fire TV, right?
Like, you could see a video of like the UI in this thing. And actually, if I had any negative, it is that it just looks like every other thing. It looks like the Apple TV interface. It looks like Netflix with all those tiles. Nothing looks...
I don't think they officially announced platforms, though, did they?
Yeah, they said it was going to basically be across most of the major platforms. And they're actually also going globally with this, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if they specifically named devices, but they said basically if you have a device, you're going to be able to access this. And the other thing I wanted to mention is Bob Iger also said that they're going to have bundle deals. So if you subscribe to Hulu and you subscribe to like Disney Plus or even like ESPN Plus, that there'll be probably even a bundle deal to have them together that could even be, you know, more cost effective, which seems insane to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm trying to come up with the downsides here, and it's pretty difficult. Okay, I figured it out, Peter. Here's what I don't like. I am sick and tired of these live-action remakes of of old animated films.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I mean, do we really need to see a realistic version of Simba's dad getting trampled to death? Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but that's only three films in the next 3 years planned for the service.
Is anyone with me here? Is this thing on?
Dave, you know what? I know a lot of people that are with you with this. Like a lot of the people in the film Twitter universe and the people that write for my staff are completely of your same mindset. But then during this presentation, Bob Iger said on stage that the Lion King trailer that they released last week is the number two highest viewed trailer that the company has ever released. And you know what the number one is, Dave?
Force Awakens?
No, the first trailer for The Lion King. So the number two, the two top slots of all time for the company are this new Lion King. So, like,
What I have to say about The Lion King. Here's what I have to say about The Lion King. That is a film that has taken on new life. You know, I'm pretty sure there's an animated series of it. There's an award-winning musical of The Lion King, right?
Yeah.
I will say, when I watch that trailer, I think like this is an intellectually bankrupt film that I can't wait to go see, because that music, man, when that music comes on, it does something to me. I am under the spell of The Lion King because of that score, and every single trailer has hit that score super hard. And so I am still going to go see The Lion King. In fact, Peter, in my opinion, The Lion King is the only film this summer that has the potential to unseat Avengers Endgame as the number one film this summer. I don't think it's going to, but it, like, I
yeah, let's not show our hands too early summer movie wager.
Too late.
Yeah.
But anyway, all that said,
I think you mentioned The Simpsons, right? You did?
I did mention The Simpsons, and
the first 30 seasons are going to be available at day one. And I feel like that alone, Dave, I think some people would pay $5 a month just for...
I could see myself, you know, there's people who like, Hulu gave a talk earlier this year about, you know, they got like, they have ER, right?
Yeah.
And they were talking about how like thousands of people had like subscribed to Hulu and watched every episode of ER when ER hit Hulu, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's going to go even harder when like The Simpsons hits Disney Plus. Is like people are going to get Disney Plus and just like watch all those early episodes of The Simpsons. I actually look forward to reliving my childhood by watching all those episodes of The Simpsons.
I think there was even an article about Netflix and how third-party tracking services had found out that basically like the most watched thing on Netflix by far is like The Office. People just rewatching The Office and basically proposing that Netflix is so worried to get like that they're going to lose this content that they don't own, because that's what everybody just has, you know, the shows that they love, you know, on repeat in the background.
Yeah. By the way, here's the article. 35,000 people watched all 331 episodes of ER within 2 months after they went up on Hulu. So.
By the way, I mean, think two of those people work for Slashfilm.com and are on this Slashfilm Daily podcast on a regular basis.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. So, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to find things I don't like about it. And
I found the angle, Dave.
Give me the angle.
Disney is a big, evil, you know, corporation. And with this, they're going to own everything. Hmm. Right.
Well, you're talking to someone who works at Amazon, so I don't have much sympathy for that point of view.
But I feel like that's the only angle you can kind of take with it. I don't know.
I mean, you're more commenting on the Disney Fox merger than Disney Plus, right?
Like, yeah.
So I'm sorry.
I will say this.
I reject your complaint.
I will say this. I wish they would add Fox as one of these, you know, pillars, these sections. Like they're sectioning off the service almost like they section off the parks into different lands. And it makes no sense to me that this Fox stuff, like they're doing a Love, Simon television series based on that popular movie from last year that was from Fox 2000, which Disney basically got rid of after the merger. So they got rid of them, but they're making this show. I love the movie, by the way. Did you see Love, Simon?
I have not seen Love, Simon.
Yeah, add that to your watch list, Dave.
It's great.
But I would say that is probably one of my criticisms here, is that Fox should be a section here, because it's going to be weird to have like Avatar and the Love, Simon TV show in Disney.
I think there is a big open question about what this new company is, right? The Disney with Fox underneath it. Fox 2000 went away, as you said. What is the future of... like Fox Searchlight, what is the future of mid-budget adult targeted fare? Would this new Disney have ever made a film like The Shape of Water? That is a big open question for me, right? We just don't have enough information yet, because we are like weeks into this thing.
Bob Iger said very positive things about Fox Searchlight. They're keeping Fox Searchlight around, and they're saying that they want them to run autonomously.
Yeah, so I think it's just that is what I'm curious about. It's not a criticism, because I just don't know yet. Like, what is the future of the medium budget adult skewing movie at the new Disney? I don't know yet, and I don't know that we got an answer to that question today, right? So
another question I have, Dave, not to drag this on any further. But they announced that Captain Marvel will be on the service when it launches. And, you know, this is launching in November. Like, is that is this window getting smaller? Like, will this hurt DVD and Blu-ray sales even further? Because I feel like people are just going to wait. You know, they're going to have the service and they're going to be like, why buy it or buy it on VOD? I'm just going to wait the extra 2 months and it'll be on my Disney Plus.
Well, Captain Marvel's release date was what?
I think they also said Avengers Endgame as well. I could be
Avengers Endgame is going to be on the platform?
Yeah. I might be wrong if it's at lunch. Maybe, I don't know. I'd have to check that.
Yeah, so...
That is what? May, June, July, August, September, October. So I guess that's like 6 months from the opening.
That is a completely normal period of time, yeah. Streaming window, right, for a title to have. But I think you bring up a good point of, like, are they going to take steps to shorten that window in the future?
But not even that, Dave. Would you end up buying something knowing that it's going to be on this service like 2 months later?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really big question. Is like, what's going to happen to DVD and Blu-ray sales of Captain Marvel? What's going to happen to video on demand sales of movies like Captain Marvel? They're already pre-announcing that they're going to be on the platform. I don't know. I suspect that a lot of people buying Blu-rays, though, aren't necessarily the most cost-conscious people these days, if I'm to speak from my own experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I just mean that people who are buying Blu-rays, like, they value the experience that a Blu-ray gives them, and not they're trying to get the cheapest price possible for a specific home video product.
Yeah, actually, you know that is the one thing we don't know, Dave. We don't know, will these have audio commentaries? Will, if I go into Avengers Infinity War, will I be able to watch, like, the making of and the special features that I would get on a home video release?
Yeah. Agreed that we don't know that, but it seems very possible. So,
yeah.
Well, that's most of the announcements from the Disney Plus announced today, right?
Yeah, it's overwhelming. This seems like a very ambitious service, and I will be a day one subscriber for sure. Dave, how many services, streaming services, do you subscribe to?
Well, as I mentioned, I got a rep for Prime Video, not only is it an amazing video on demand service, but it also, or video online video service, it also comes with other amazing benefits.
Yeah,
like you get free shipping and such. But the other things, I'm doing HBO now because I'm doing Cast of Kings.
Yeah,
and I until very recently was doing Showtime channels through my Amazon Prime Video channels. And I also do CBS All Access.
Oh, wow. For Twilight Zone?
Yes, for Twilight Zone. And Hulu. And also, I'm sharing a YouTube TV account with a family member. And so between those subscriptions, it basically takes care of, like, everything I need. How about you, Peter?
I have most of those. I have Amazon. I have Hulu. I pay for Hulu Premium because I can't deal with seeing the same advertisement 10 times during a 30-minute comedy. Mm-hmm. And I have YouTube Premium mainly because I want to skip the advertisements. I use YouTube every day, you know, many times a day, and not even for their original content. And I also have HBO. But it looks like I'm going to have this. I've been wondering about Criterion Channel. I'm not sure if that's enough to get me. You know what's interesting to me about Criterion is that they have these, like, filmmakers. Like, they'll have, like, a 30-minute interview with Guillermo del Toro talking about all these films he loves, and then you get to see some of those films.
Yeah, I mean, Criterion Channel sounds amazing. I just don't have time right now.
Yeah.
Like, one day, there will be time enough at last, and I will be able to sit and, you know, mainline Criterion Channel for a few hours a day. But not yet, Peter. Not yet.
I think we're probably going to cut this off soon, but Dave, I want to tell you, since you have YouTube Premium, watch the documentary it just hit called Boy Band Con. It's about Lou Pearlman. I highly recommend it.
Okay, Boy Band Con.
Yeah, it's about Lou Pearlman, the guy that started NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys. And he basically was a con man.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story, I think.
All right. I will check that out.
And it's one of those things that no one's ever going to see because it's a YouTube original.
okay, what's the name again? Red?
What, The Boy Band Con, I think it's called.
The Boy Band Con. Okay, yeah. I got that completely. The Boy Band Con. Okay, yeah. The Lou Pearlman story.
Yeah.
I'll check that out.
Cool. Okay, so that brings us to the end of today's Slash Film Daily. This has been a bonus episode. Usually this podcast is published 5 times a week, every weekday, but because of Celebration and this, we're having multiple, way more episodes. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google, Overcast, Spotify, all the popular podcast apps. Please feel free to send us your questions, comments, concerns to peter@slashfilm.com and head on over to our iTunes page. Give us a 5-star review. Tell your friends, spread the word, and we'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.